Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Joined here in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Ali Moreno. Mark Ogden and Frank Leboeuf will be joining us shortly as we kick things off in the Champions League. Leipzig taking on Spurs today, and this game was pretty much over before it started. Remember, Leipzig with that 1-0 lead going into this second leg. They would score three today against a very lackluster Spurs side. So it is the Bundesliga team who book a place in the quarterfinals, going through 4-0 on aggregate. This game kind of happened as you would expect it to. The better team in the first leg, proving once again they're the better team in the second leg by a bigger margin this time round.
Yeah, the only question coming into this would be, what would Spurs' approach be? Given that they had to overhaul a one-goal deficit, had key players missing, which everybody, I'm sure, will mention, in Son and Kane, do you sit back, try to soak up pressure and score later on, or do you get going from the get-go? In the end, this was all about Leipzig. Mm. They got a goal after 10 minutes, 2-0 after 21, including having one ruled out. It was as easy as could be for them, and Spurs really had no answers.
I saw an interesting tweet saying that Leipzig won't have an easier game in the Bundesliga this season. I think that's testament to how bad Spurs are.
It was lifeless from Spurs. At no point did you get the sense that they were truly in the match and that they had a sense of belief that they were truly in the match. And so, well, when you give up a goal 10 minutes in, you're almost kind of like, well, there he goes.
Yep.
And that's sort of, if you just look at the whole performance and really the attitude of the players and the feeling around Spurs, that's sort of the feeling that you get, that it's, well, it was over. We knew it was over. We kind of had to show up anyways because, well, we're supposed to be here, but we didn't truly believe that we were going to be able to pull this off. And as you're watching the game, you just got the sense that they could have played for 200 minutes, 300 minutes, and Spurs were never going to score.
Yep.
There wasn't anything about this team that truly gave you a sense of, you know what? They have a plan. They're going to execute that plan. They're really going to force Leipzig into and making it uncomfortable for them. Or there was no plan. There was no identity. And you can say that about Spurs, not only in this game, but you can say now for the last month and a half or so.
Mark Ogden, it was interesting because we had the UK feed on that we were watching. And obviously they're trying to sell it. You know, Spurs can make the comeback. Remember what they did against Ajax. Never in a million years watching this match did you give them any hope of getting back into it.
No, and, you know, Tottenham, to be fair, they rolled the luck quite a lot last season in the Champions League. The Man City game, you know, they were fortunate to go through thanks to VAR and a couple of strange decisions. The Ajax game, again, was a bit of a freak performance, a freak result in Amsterdam. They deserve to get to the final, of course, but they did kind of push the luck a bit, and I think this season that luck's run out. And, you know, there are lots of reasons. The injuries, like Shaka says, you know, Kane, Son, Steven Bergwijn, who's come in, done well, and he's injured as well now. At the end of last season, Spurs looked like a team that had kind of run out of steam. They needed a bit of new blood, and Pochettino wasn't happy at the time, and they didn't bring in the new blood they wanted. He left halfway through the season. Mourinho comes in. There was a little bit of a bounce, but it's not looking good. And, you know, I was one of the guys who said at the start that I thought Mourinho was a good fit for Tottenham, but, you know, to be fair, at the moment I have to say that that's probably a bad call, because he's gone in there and it's not really worked. You know, they're slipping out of contention for the top four in the Premier League. They were awful in the Champions League today. They were awful in the FA Cup against Norwich last week, and I think everybody at Tottenham just wants the season to end. But when it does end, there's no guarantee it'll get any better, because the problem with Mourinho is when the summer comes, he'll want to spend a lot of money to bring new players in. And his track record at his last couple of clubs at Chelsea and Man United suggests that when Jose Mourinho has money to spend or wants money to spend, it doesn't usually end well.
Mark, why were you so wrong?
Well, on what? On everything on Tottenham? I think the reason why, when he went in, I thought that Tottenham needed a manager that would demand more of them than Pochettino. Not demand more, but have that winning mentality that would raise levels, raise performances. I think Pochettino would come to the end of his tether with the players and the squad. I thought Mourinho would go in there and just give everybody a kick at the backside and make them tougher, make them harder, but maybe that Tottenham squad isn't able to be tougher or harder. Maybe that Pochettino was right, that they couldn't go to another level because the mentality that isn't quite there. You know, you need to have a special mentality to play for a really big club, a Barcelona, a Real Madrid, a Man United, a Liverpool. And Spurs are at that level, and to get to that level, they need those players. And maybe a lot of the Spurs players aren't capable of going from where they are to where they need to be. And I think Mourinho's finding that now.
And you're also in a problem as well, aren't you, Mark? In a sense that you mentioned bringing in players in the summer. But you've got to keep hold of your star player. And surely if you're Harry Kane and you're watching how things have unfolded over the last few months, despite the fact he's been so committed to Spurs in the past, you've got to be thinking, do you know what? Maybe I have to leave here if I'm going to get any sort of success.
I agree completely. I think Harry Kane should have gone 2 years ago. I think that Harry Kane is probably... I think he's now missed the chance to get a big move, because if you look back at his last three or four seasons, he does pick up injuries, and he's picked up injuries that keep him out for 2 or 3 months at a time. This hamstring injury has kept him out since, I think, December, early January. He's not back yet. I don't think a big club like a Barca, Real Madrid, or Juventus are going to take a gamble on Harry Kane at 27, 28, because the injuries are beginning to stack up. So maybe he's missed the chance to get the big move from Tottenham. There are other players at Tottenham that might fancy a move. You know, Son, I think, deserves a bigger stage. Dele Alli's plateaued at Tottenham. He's not really moving. He's not really progressing. So it's a big summer for Tottenham. You're right. He does have a battle keeping his best players, but I do worry about Tottenham in the sense that Jose Mourinho, when he's got money to spend, or... even when he doesn't have money to spend, he causes problems. He lights fires and he rows with people at the club. I just fear for Tottenham this summer. I think it's going to be a very kind of acrimonious summer, because he'll want a lot of players in. And Tottenham, as we know, don't spend a lot of money on players. So I don't think Mourinho will get what he wants.
And the problem is, Shaka, you've got your record signing, Ndombele, who of course he's come out and criticising in the media as well. If I'm a Spurs fan, I'm just worried about this whole house collapsing in front of me at the moment.
Absolutely. And listen, here's the truth. You saw a good team and a bad team. RB Leipzig are a very good team, and Spurs quite clearly aren't. And there's an arrogance around Spurs that I'm not sure if it's born out of an English football and Premier League mentality. I'm not sure if it's born out of what you saw from them last season, or the fact of who their manager is. Leipzig have lost 5 games in all competitions all season long. Spurs have lost 4 games in the last 3 weeks. I'm not sure why this result is much of a surprise. And as a result, unless something within this club changes drastically between now and August, and maybe Mourinho is the man to get Levy to open up the purse strings and make Spurs into genuine contenders.
But who are they going to get, Shaq? That's the problem as well. Other teams looking to rebuild. What does Spurs offer you? A lovely stadium, and an angry manager.
I totally agree. And you saw that playoff this January. Everybody knew that if Spurs were to realistically contend, not just in the Champions League, but to push to finish top four, that they would have to spend money in January. Yet there was nothing of significance. When they did spend money last summer, now that player, in on Ndombele, as you mentioned, is probably looking for a way out. If you're on the outside and looking for a big club, a big move, a big opportunity, and Spurs come calling, as much as that may pique your interest, if there is anybody else even close in terms of size of club and opportunity, all of a sudden Spurs find themselves a little bit lower down the pecking order.
And you're mentioning Mourinho as part of that future. I'm saying he shouldn't be here to begin with. And this is something that we discussed when he was first appointed. And so for Spurs fans out there, I tell you, we told you so. This is what's happening right now. It's the conversation we had at the very beginning when this appointment happened. When Jose Mourinho was brought in, the concern was, you know what, this is going to last for the first 2-3 weeks. It's going to be great. Everybody's going to be happy. There's going to be a reaction. You're going to get excited as a Spurs fan. And then reality is going to set in. And once reality has set in, we have found that he goes back to the things that were troublesome in Manchester United. And so people are getting thrown under the bus, and players are going to be put out there, and everybody's getting blamed except Jose Mourinho. And yet we think that, you know what? He's going to get the summer, and he's going to get the players, and this team is going to get better. Why? Where in the recent history of Jose Mourinho can you tell me there is a track record of success of putting a team together, rebuilding it, and actually working in a way that you would expect a top team to work? Don't tell me about Inter. Don't tell me about Porto. Don't tell me about... Let's look at the recent history, and let's see and evaluate a coach and a manager who has had difficulties in getting the very best out of their team. And the reaction cannot be, blaming everybody else except yourself.
We've got to have a word in Leipzig. We haven't spoken about them at all. There were two teams, of course, in this. Yeah. They did excellently well.
They were simply exceptional. Got the result in London as they needed. And again, just as I say, you wanted to see what Spurs' approach would be. I wanted to see how they would come out this. And they came. They didn't lose anything about their identity. They weren't scared of Spurs. They didn't play within themselves. They weren't trying to defend a lead. They were very good value for taking the lead after 10 minutes. And then this game being over after 20. They have been simply outstanding. They were outstanding over two legs. Deserve all the credit that they get.
Just a reminder, if you ever miss the show, you can download our daily podcast. It's available on the website. Or if you prefer, you can go over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers. Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Meanwhile, in the other Champions League tie today, just 7 goals at Mestalla. Valencia 3, Atalanta 4. Ilicic getting all of the goals for the visitors who advanced the quarterfinals, 8-4 on aggregate. The crazy thing about these two legs is that 8-4 is probably quite a low bar, considering how many goals could have been scored. It was like a game of FIFA. It was crazy.
It was. Fun to watch.
Yeah.
For those of us, neutrals. Fantastic to watch. And Atalanta in particular, I would just say this. When they go up 2-1 in this game, and you really think, okay, at this point, maybe you just start knocking the ball around. Maybe you just take it easy. You defend. You keep the ball in front of you. Valencia's never going to come back, and you just keep it at that. No. It's not in the personality of this team. So they just keep attacking. They just keep going after. Valencia goes up. You think, okay, well, maybe now we really have to defend a little bit better. No. We're going to get after you, and we're going to score goals, and we're going to win the game. It's fun to watch. I don't know if you can sustain that in the next round, but who cares at this point? If you're Atalanta and an Atalanta fan, you should be very proud of where you are and how you got to this point. Tremendous performance.
What exemplifies that is the fact that 20 minutes to go, Valencia could have scored 3 and obviously advanced, which is ridiculous. You think, well, why was that even going to happen? But the game was so open that for a moment there was a possibility.
Yeah, and that's how Atalanta play. And listen, we've been almost waiting for this Atalanta bubble to burst over the last couple of seasons, but it simply hasn't. When they've had every reason to, and they've just remained true to themselves.
Yeah.
They've remained true to the game that brought success during the course of last season, got them into the Champions League. That's brought the relative success. And now the thing is, as much as whatever happens from here on in, you know, Atalanta will be praised, they're playing with house money. Mm. And that's almost doubly worrying for anybody who comes up against them, because at this point, they have absolutely nothing to lose. 4-1 up from the first leg, you'd expect most teams would go and sit back and not give too much away. You're 1-0 up after 2 minutes, and you simply do not stop attacking. And as much as you concede, again, at no point do Atalanta start to doubt themselves, who they are, what they're about. And the result, again, was never uncertain.
And Ilicic, a proper player.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. And he could have had more goals, too. Yeah. No, but you have that kind of talent, an attacking talent for Atalanta, all over the field. I mean, Papu Gomez is a great player. Mm. Duan Zapata's coming off the bench. And so there is enough talent there to trouble somebody in the attack. The problem is that defensively, they got their issues. But they don't seem to care. This is like the anti-Mourinho. When you see Atalanta play, you're like, ah!
without Mourinho, we can win scoring goals. We can do that. That's the way Gasperini has them set up, and it's fun to watch, and it's exciting. I think Xhaka just got it right there when he says they know who they are, and they're comfortable in who they are. There is an identity. You know what they're going to do. They're going to attack you. They're going to get after you. Good luck trying to defend against them. They're going to have to defend a little bit better in the next round.
Who would you prefer, Leipzig or Atalanta in the next round? Ooh.
Atalanta. I feel I can score goals, and then it's obviously trying to keep them out, but I just feel Leipzig more balanced.
Meanwhile, two beauties tomorrow. Really good Champions League games. Of course, it's PSG taking on Borussia Dortmund. That'll be in front of an empty stadium, and it's Liverpool taking on Atletico Madrid at what will be a capacity size crowd at Anfield. Atleti, slight favourites to advance, but let's start with PSG. Let's welcome Frank Leboeuf into the show to discuss this. Frank, obviously this will be played in front of an empty stadium. 2-1, the lead that Dortmund has going into this second leg. How do you see it going?
Well, it should be at the advantage of Paris Saint-Germain. It's only one goal to score. Even if it's in front of an empty stadium, I think the players are good enough and better than the Dortmund. But you will have to show it. You will have to show a mentality that they didn't have in the first leg. They will have to make sure that they give everything they need to win that game. So we should normally see what they call the four fantastics if Mbappe is back after his little illness. But Neymar, Cavani, I think Mbappe and Di Maria should play with Marquinhos and Gay in midfield. And we should see Thiago Silva is back at the central of the defense. So again, the individuals are there. Well, will it be enough? I think so. But you will have to show it to the crowd, even if it's empty, or to show it in front of the TV.
Psychologically, how are the players, Frank, going into this game, given the fact that obviously Manchester United last year, Barcelona before that, I'm sure the sports media haven't forgotten what has happened and been reminding the players in the build-up to this one?
Well, there is a fear. Of course, there is a fear of what happened in the recent years, and they want to go through that. They are very superstitious, so they think that everything is going before the game, while before the primes were coming during the game. So they think it's a different era, and maybe that the end of the bad luck for Paris Saint-Germain. But Marquinhos just said before that the fact that the fans, they weren't there, was again something bad for the team. But they will fight to show that they can even cope with the situation and beat the superstition.
Quickly, boys, who have you got?
Dortmund. I just feel PSG shoot themselves in the foot yet again.
I'm thinking that PSG overcomes this superstitions that Frank is talking about, and these feelings from years past and disappointments from years past, and talent takes over, and Mbappe and Neymar and the rest of them do just enough to get past Dortmund.
Meanwhile, as I mentioned, the other game at Anfield, Liverpool taking on Atletico Madrid. As we record this, this will be in front of a full crowd. For Liverpool, a lot of question marks, obviously, about the fitness of two key players. We know that Alisson will be out. Adrian, once again in goal, he has not looked comfortable, has he, over the last couple of matches. Jordan Henderson is the other question mark. The reason, of course, that he has been so key is that it's been so obvious how they've missed him over the last few matches.
Yeah, well, he returned to training on Sunday after a 3 weeks out with a hamstring problem. And you know, Jordan Henderson has suddenly become Liverpool's best player by not playing in the last three or four games, because they've really missed him in that run where they've lost three out of four games. And obviously, he played in Madrid, came off injured. But, you know, he's the glue that holds that team together in many ways. I'm not sure that Klopp will risk him from the start. I just think that having been out for 3 weeks in a game that's going to need a lot of energy and high intensity against Atletico Madrid, can you afford to have Jordan Henderson playing his first game in 3 weeks and a game that really matters? Now, you know, Klopp He's a bit of a gambler at times, but I think on this occasion he's got enough midfielders to cover that, and Henderson will have to start on the bench. But I do think it's a huge thing for Liverpool that this game is going ahead with fans in the ground. I mean, we all know what Anfield means to Liverpool and what it means on a European night, and if this game had suddenly been played behind closed doors, it would have taken a massive advantage away from Liverpool. And, you know, I think of all the teams that they could have played, Atletico Madrid with Diego Simeone, were probably the one team they probably wouldn't want to play, in the sense that they wouldn't be fazed by Anfield as much as other teams, but it will still have an effect. It makes Liverpool play better. It makes their players just rise to the occasion even more. So it's a huge advantage for Liverpool to have the fans on the ground. So for me, it gives them the edge. I think if it was an empty stadium, I think Atletico Madrid would go through. But I think with the fans there, I think Liverpool have to be favourites.
Frank, who have you got going through in this one?
I will go with Mark. I think with the fans, Liverpool will go through. They're still very angry at the at what the players said, the Spaniard players said after the game, and what they did, and what happened after discussions, you know, in some press conferences. So I will go with Liverpool. I think it was not going to be easy, but I will go with Liverpool. Yeah,
Shaka.
I'm going to go Liverpool.
Liverpool?
Yeah.
Who's that team?
Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they can keep a clean sheet, but I think this will be a high-scoring affair. I'm going to go 4-1, 4-2, something like that. To Liverpool.
Okay. I would love to say Atletico Madrid, but...
Why?
Go on, say it. Go on.
They were in a better position last year against Juventus, where they had a bigger advantage. Mm. And this was a better defensive team last year, Atletico Madrid, than the one that we've seen this year. So while people want to say, well, they went back to old-school Atletico Madrid in the first game against Liverpool, well, the reason they haven't been able to do it consistently is because it doesn't come natural to them.
Right.
And what's going to end up happening is you're going to depend on Alvaro Morata to be holding the ball up and trying to release some pressure. Well, if there was a guy that I could pick to hold the ball up for me, to release some pressure when we are defending as much as Atletico Madrid is going to be, it would not be Alvaro Morata. And so, I just have to say, I don't think Atletico Madrid has enough and Liverpool takes over.
Two fascinating games then in the Champions League tomorrow. Of course, on the next edition of the show, we'll be looking back at them. How red will Stevie Nicol be at the final whistle? Ali will be with me, as will Frank Leboeuf. Be sure to join us. It's a good run, hasn't it, of late for Manchester United. That win against the Manchester City means that they're unbeaten in their last 10 games, winning 7 of them. Mark Ogden, you have been one of the harshest critics of United over the last few months. Were you wrong about this as well?
Well, the turnaround has kind of certainly coincided with the arrival of Bruno Fernandes, who's just been an absolute revelation. I think obviously, he's added some fantastic quality himself, but he's brought the rest of the players up another level. He's made the midfielders play better. He's brought the strikers out of the shell a little bit. And it's all kind of knitted together. Now, my only concern about United is they've had a great run recently. They've beaten City. You know, they've got a game at Tottenham at the weekend. After they play Tottenham, they've got a run of games against teams in the bottom half of the table. Now, until recently, they really struggled to beat those teams. You know, the likes of Burnley, Watford, West Ham, Newcastle, they've all had results against United this season. Now, I think the arrival of Fernandes will help them break these teams down, but we still have to see whether United can take advantage of teams that are going to sit deep rather than attack them. So, look, it's been a great turnaround, and you have to give Solskjaer credit, because when they lost to Burnley about 6-7 weeks ago, nobody saw this coming. He was really under pressure. But, you know, the signing of Fernandes has been exceptional. A lot of fans are saying, why aren't they signing him at the beginning of January, right at the end of January, but still, they've got him in the end. But, you know, I think right now United are probably favourites to get that fourth spot because they're in form, but I just think there has to be a caveat that they have to start beating the teams in the lower half of the table, and they haven't done that often enough.
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned the top four race. The bookies disagree with you. They've got Chelsea as favourites, 11-8 on, United 7-4. What do you think it is then about Chelsea that's going to go wrong to let United in?
I still think that third place is up for grabs for both Chelsea and United. I think that although Leicester won on Monday, I still think that Leicester could be caught by the teams behind them. So, you know, Chelsea for me have been very flaky recently. They had a good win at the weekend, but still, Chelsea got last game of the season, I think it's Wolves at home, they've got Liverpool, they've still got to play Man City. Chelsea got a tough run, and I think United, if they can find a way, as you say, to beat those teams in the bottom half, they have a much softer run in. So I think United have the advantage over Chelsea, but just keep an eye on Leicester, because although they beat Aston Villa on Monday, Leicester have, you know, until that game, I think they'd lost 4 of the last 7 games in the league. So They might slip up yet, Leicester. They've got a small squad and they've had a bad run. They're not out of it yet.
They are 5 points clear, of course, of Chelsea at the moment. Just a reminder, extra time always available.
Hey.
There's Peter Walton's dad.
Yes, sir.
Making an appearance. Be sure to check it out.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Huge win for Real Sociedad today, beating Eibar by 2-1, meaning they move up to fourth in the table. Now, that game was played in front of an empty stadium, as will the next two match days in Spain. That was confirmed today by La Liga, of course, taking precautions to stop the spread of the coronavirus around the country. We've seen other countries, of course, take measures as well. Italy, the most extreme, suspending all football, of course, until next month. What's interesting, Mark, is out of all the leagues, the UK, the Premier League, seem to be the less proactive.
Yeah, now, the Premier League and the FA are both basically waiting on the government to advise on what to do next. It's been left in the hands of the government, so the UK government have a different approach to it to other governments. They want to try and delay the outbreak of coronavirus in the UK, and they believe that basically carrying on as normal is, but just by washing your hands is the best way to do it. Now, I've spoken to a few clubs recently, and privately, they're all expecting pretty soon to have to be playing behind closed doors. Now, whether that's after this weekend's games or the following weekend, nobody knows yet. But also, there's an England-Italy game at Wembley on the 27th of March, which is 16 days away, basically. Now, the official Foreign Office advice for people in the UK is not to travel to Italy if they can avoid it. And also, if anyone returns to the UK from Italy, any part of Italy, they have to self-quarantine for 14 days. Now, if that's the case, and Italy is due to play at Wembley in 16 days, does that mean that the Italy squad are going to fly in tomorrow, self-quarantine for 2 weeks? Of course it doesn't. So there's an expectation that the England-Italy game will be called off and the Denmark game on the Tuesday will be called off. I think by this time next week we'll all be either not playing behind closed doors or about to play behind closed doors, because there's inevitability about it. It's beginning to spread. And just today, it's been kind of disclosed by Downing Street that one of the health ministers has got coronavirus. So it's beginning to affect all levels of society. So I think it's only a matter of time before the Premier League and the FA follow suit with the rest of Europe.
Meanwhile, Wolves refusing to go to Greece for their tie against Olympiacos, Mark.
Yeah, now they feel that it's putting too much kind of undue pressure and risk on their players. So we'll have to see how that one plays out. It's quite a late breaking story, that one, on this evening. So whether UEFA accept that or UEFA threaten to punish Wolves, we don't know yet. It's a bit early in the day for that one. But, you know, you'd have to say that if Wolves fear that their player could get coronavirus, it's a risk that isn't worth taking. So I think on Wednesday and Thursday we'll find out what happens there. Obviously Man United are playing in Austria on Thursday, and that's now behind closed doors as well. So it's happening all over Europe.
It certainly is, and it's interesting to see what the ramifications will be long-term regarding Euro 2020 and whether or not that will actually take place as scheduled. Remember, it's a unique tournament this time round, and it's not focused in one country, but many across Europe. Plus, we're just hearing as well that Getafe has said they will not travel to Milan to take on Inter in the Europa League as well. Of course, to keep up to date with all the latest on this as it develops, of course, go over to ESPNFC.com. But for now, thank you very much to Shaka, to Ali, to Mark and to Frank. Till tomorrow. Goodbye. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. We've got to be quick. Shaq has got to get home for the Bachelor of Minari.
No!
He didn't sleep last night.
What?
Because of the cliffhanger.
No!
Frank, the first question is for you. If you're a visiting player, would you prefer to play in front of an empty stadium or a hostile crowd?
are definitely a hostile crowd. You know, I wanted to make sure that they would be a little bit quiet. You know, because right. You score a goal. And they give you the concentration, the stamina. I mean, we play football because we want to play in front of fans, even if they're not our fans. We want to play with the atmosphere. So, yeah, the second choice.
Do you agree?
I've never played in front of the empty stadium, but when I was at Newcastle, I think I was second or third season, they banned away fans for the derby with Sunderland.
Right.
And I'm with Frank. The away fans add to the atmosphere. Even though there's no noise, it just doesn't feel right.
Ali, when you played for Chivas, that was an empty stadium.
And it wasn't fun.
It was a hostile crowd.
Yes.
It was your fans, it was a hostile.
We were hostile on the field. It wasn't great. It wasn't a lot of fun.
Next tweet is from Gab's Nemo Tattoo.
Oh, hello.
You can see where we're going with this. Does Mark Ogden have any secret tattoos?
Oh, hello.
Sadly not, no tattoos.
Tell you what,
if they finish top four, he has to get a tattoo of Solskjaer somewhere.
No, definitely some sort of tattoo of Gab somewhere.
Oh, God.
Okay. So many thoughts.
Okay. Frank,
I'm just saying.
Frank, if Leipzig play Atalanta in the quarterfinal, who goes through?
Ooh. I would say Leipzig, because they're more balanced. They're very good defensively, but they know how to work together. They play high on the field. They pressure the opponent. Where Atlanta is a playing game, team. They want to play, but they don't really think about the defense. So I would say Leipzig.
Frank, would you do a French version of Ocean's 11 with the ESPN FC crew, please? It would be epic.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Will I have to choose the crew with me?
Well, yeah, I think we would all do it with you. I'm not quite sure.
Do we have 11? Do we have a full 11?
I don't know. I don't think Stevie could be the contortionist.
We need a big space. We need a big space.
The thing is that...
It will be shapes.
I want to know who would play George Clooney and who would play Brad Pitt.
Well, I think you could do Clooney, couldn't you?
You've got the beard. He's got the Clooney beard.
No, come on.
No.
The guy is so classy. No.
All right, Frank. You put yourself down.
I know. You're supposed to get us excited about this movie, not...
Okay.
Not turn it down.
Mark Ogden, if Tottenham had no injuries, would they have advanced?
Yes. Harry Kane, Son Heung-min, Steven Bergwijn, Costewood.
Oh, boy.
Shaq, are you buying what Mark's selling?
No. That's too easy. Well, honestly, he answered to... No.
No.
It won't.
Ali?
No.
Mark is too far in the forest. He's over there.
What forest is he in?
The Premier League.
Oh, I see.
You see? And so he has to somehow make an argument that Spurs would have been better than Leipzig. And the truth of the matter is that even with Song and Kane... There was a point there where Spurs wasn't looking all that great. This team and this coach right now, they're going in all sorts of directions, and it's not the right direction.
Get out of the forest, Mark.
Yeah, that's right. Get
Ranger,
out of the forest.
Ranger Mark.
Yeah, Ranger Mark. That's it.
Final question. Who wears the blue jacket better, Ali or Dan? Of course, you wore your paler blue jacket. You're off sailing.
That was a very blue jacket. It was very...
Obviously, my blue jacket's better, but that's okay.
You've got a couple of blues.
Yeah.
Is that one blue? Would you consider that blue?
Yeah, this one's a blue, yeah.
You've got another...
It's not the blue, which is the one of me.
Oh, it's not the blue.
The palaver.
I demand a side-by-side look at some point.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we can organize that sometime on a slower day.
Well, I'm just saying, you are the director, the producer of the show. You do a whole lot. Maybe you could make it happen.
I think it should happen this week.
Shaka, who's he going to pick? Which girl?
I don't know.
Don't pretend.
Yeah, you do.
Who's going to get the rose?
I have no idea.
I need that guy's job, by the way. The one who just appears out of nowhere going, this is your final rose. That's the whole show. That's it then. ESPN FC will be back tomorrow. Brilliant day, isn't it? Tomorrow, PSG taking on Dortmund, Liverpool against Atleti, even a bit of City against Arsenal as well.
Oh,
be sure to join us.
All right.